Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Many of you probably remember Father John Ricardo from previous programs. Father John, welcome.
Thanks, Ralph. Good to be back.
You know, I have to tell you, I listen to Catholic radio locally, and whenever I hear your program, your radio program, I have to say that's really life-giving truth. It's my favorite radio program on Catholic radio.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, it is. Now, we're so happy you could be here on the Christmas season.
Delighted.
And so we'd really love it if you could just share some insights with us into Christmas.
Yeah, here's one of those seasons, which is in a feast in particular, which lends itself to sentimentalism.
Uh-huh.
You know, so Christmas is this, although for many people, clearly, it's a very difficult time, especially if I've lost loved ones. So I'm trying to deal with a celebration and I've got this huge loss in my life too. Maybe we can speak to that a little bit later. But for many of us, this becomes this almost sappy holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I've been struck of late, probably the last couple of years, just by trying to grapple with what are we really celebrating at Christmas? It's God and man becoming one in the person of Jesus. And then I keep asking myself, why? Why is this going on? He's here for a reason. He's lying in a trough for a purpose. And the purpose isn't for him to be a cute baby. The purpose is for him to go to war.
Mm.
And my uncle who fought in World War II. He was one of the guys who had the opportunity to liberate his hometown in Italy. And I thought of that repeatedly with regards to Christmas. Continues to come to mind. The joy of this man as he liberates his family's hometown. So, you know, people made concrete decisions to go to war, to overthrow an oppressor, and to undo injustice. Presidents and kings and whatnot, they sent people to go to war. Well, God didn't send, you know, angels or other people to go to war. God looked down and said, my people are under the oppressive yoke of a tyrant, Satan, sin, death, hell, and I'm going to do something about it. And so he doesn't send Michael, he doesn't send Gabriel, he doesn't send Raphael. He comes. And that's the image that's most in my mind at Christmas this
time,
that the Lord has come to fight, not against me, for me. God is, Emmanuel, God is with us. You know, Emmanuel doesn't mean simply that God is in our midst. He is, thanks be to God. But it's much more than just he's in our midst. It's he's for me. He's on my side.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something on my behalf. And he's lying in a trough so that he can have a human body, so that he can go to battle against sin and Satan and death.
Father John, this is really a unique and different way of looking at Christmas. Honestly, I mean, you're kind of blowing my categories right here. I mean, I think Jesus is a cute baby. You know what I mean? And the humility of him becoming a baby is amazing and lying in the trough. But you're certainly bringing out the reason for all this and the deeper significance of all this. And thinking about it is, you know, the Prince of Peace has come to make war. You know, the Prince of Peace has come to conquer the devil, you know, and it set us free.
Right. We got the bumper sticker, Jesus is the reason for the season. But
yeah.
I got to ask, what's the reason for Jesus coming? And the reason for him coming is to do something for me that I can't do on my own. You know, the scriptures talk about, to smash the oppressor's yoke and the rod of the taskmaster will be broken. Well, what's the yoke? What's the taskmaster?
Yeah.
It's sin. It's the enslavement to things that we all wrestle with. It's the tyranny of hell.
Yeah.
It's the futility of life without God. And he's come to do something. That's the good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the great news.
Yeah. Yeah. You're basically saying that, you know, preaching the gospel there and explaining that. And, you know, we think about the Prince of Peace, but we also need to think about what Jesus says. I haven't come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword.
Right.
And there's going to be division and, you know, people need to make a decision about me and this it's a conflict.
Yeah. And that's what Christmas is supposed to do. It's supposed to provoke me. Huh? We this is a time, obviously, we give gifts to each other. We do that as some meager means to express our love for each other. So in this thing that I give you, you know, I'm hoping that you will grasp how much you mean to me, whether it's a husband and a wife or parents and children or friends, whatever it might be. So we give gifts. Well, God has given a gift. He's given the gift of himself.
Yeah.
And he's waiting for a response. You know, so I hand you a $50,000 ring. I want to see your response to that. And it better not be, oh, nice. And then off to the side. So
yeah.
What is the response that I'm supposed to give to God having leapt down from heaven to do all this for me? Because he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to be here.
Yeah, if we understood the magnitude of the gift and how extraordinary it truly is, I think we'd spend the rest of our life praising and thanking him for that gift and trying to live in harmony with it.
Absolutely. I would hope so anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so this is, I think it's Romano Guardini in his book, The Lord, where he's wrestling with Christmas one day. He's looking at a manger. I think he was a young man at the time. And he's just looking at this, trying to understand why. Why has God done this? And I think it's an older priest or somebody says to him one time, well, because love does things like that. And you go, well, then I don't have much love because I don't understand how it could be that the God who needs nothing, who's not bored, he's not waiting for the next Xbox or, you know, whatever toy that's out there or something, diversion, amusement. He's not lonely. He doesn't need friends. He's looking for friends, but he doesn't need friends. There's no lack. And he decides to become a man. Which, you know, you and I are pretty impressed with that because we're men. We like men. The human race, we're rather fond of ourselves, but we're nothing. How is it that God would become a man?
Yeah.
The creator of the universe is contained inside a woman's womb and then is born. And we're supposed to go, why? How could it be that I could be loved that much that he would do this for me? And then I'm not just supposed to look at it. Then I'm supposed to ask him, so what do you want from me? What's the gift you want in return?
Yeah. This is the most amazing offer of friendship that you can ever imagine, or offer of marriage, as you said. You know, like, I mean, the disparity in the dignity of the two parties is pretty amazing, you know. And then yet he becomes like us, and the depth of relationship that he wants is pretty amazing when he says, I no longer call you servants, but friends, you know. And at the end, it's going to be the marriage feast of the Lamb. And, you know, he's actually coming to bring peace, but first he has to wage war before there can really be true peace, you know, peace based on relationship with him. And so the whole thing is pretty darn amazing. Yeah. And it's pretty wonderful through your radio programs that you can communicate the wonder and the amazement of what we're really living as Christians.
Well, please, God, he awakens us to that in these days, as we stare at him in a manger or a creche, that, it provokes us. We ask, Lord, help me just to look at this and ask, what have you done for me? What am I supposed to do in response to this?
Yeah. So say folks are saying, hey, there's more to this than I thought. What would you recommend to them about how they could understand better what God has done for them? How they can understand better what kind of response is appropriate? Or, you know, what could you suggest about that?
Stillness.
Mm.
You know, so all these weeks leading up to Christmas have been anything but still. There's supposed to be for us as Christians this time of intense preparation. That's what Advent was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was running around trying to find the right gift, and most of us did in the last couple of days. So probably we haven't had the time to really prepare for this.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, especially while our manger scenes are still up in the house, are great days, you know, whether we are living alone, whether we've got kids at home, whatever, to find time almost late at night with the lights off or really low, and just to look, to really just spend time alone, quiet. You know, we have so much noise in our lives, so many distractions, to sit there and say, Lord, I need you to teach me what this is about. I mean, I've had to say this over and over again. I don't think I know what Christmas is about. What is this? And he knows how to get through to me. He can, you know, God really talks. Kind of encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he created the universe. He became a man. He can probably communicate with us.
Yeah. And the way he talks often, Father John, let me see if you feel like this is a good way of expressing it. Oftentimes, I mean, hardly ever do you hear words like verbally, like, you know, oh, who's saying that? You know,
right.
That type of thing. It's more like, an interior insight or a light goes on, or you have a thought that seems maybe a little bit more special than your ordinary thoughts, you know, type of thing, like a little insight that the Holy Spirit's giving you that doesn't knock you over the head. Usually, sometimes it does. Sometimes it's like,
once in a while,
whoa, you know, but a lot of times it's like, oh, I'm seeing something here that the Lord is letting me see that's really going to help me to understand what this is all about.
Absolutely. And it might be one of the ways to kind of bring the what you just said and me together. It might be to do something as simple as to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the gift of awe. Awe me. We're a culture that is rarely awed. Maybe a birth of a child. Mm-hmm. I think for most people, that's probably one of the most powerful experiences of awe. We have a lot of negative experiences of awe, you know, with tragedy and whatnot, but we celebrated the anniversary of 9/11 back in September, and people going to Ground Zero in New York, that's an experience of awe for many people. They get off the subway, they turn the corner, and they realize, oh, it happened here. All those things we saw on TV. That experience of just being, you know, the scriptures talk about, I'm going to put my hand over my mouth right now because I don't think I'm supposed to speak. I think I'm just supposed to look. That's awe. And that's the gift, I think, to really ask for at Christmas. Just, Lord, help me to be amazed at what I'm looking at. And he can do that without communicating a word.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, I think what you said is really true. It makes me think of the psalm where it says, be still and know that I am God. You know, I think one of the things that really is incredibly, almost totally lacking is stillness or quiet. I mean, if our minds and hearts are so filled with the things of the world, or so filled with the voices of the world, or so filled with entertainment or distraction or whatever, it's very hard to perceive who he is, you know, and the whole line of the psalm of be still, mm-hmm. and know that I am God is really, really true, because sometimes I find people, even Christians, who are anxious about getting healed or anxious about this, or, you know, their engines are revving, you know, and it's almost like, yes, you know, God wants to address your need right now, but he needs you to be quiet and just be still and just know that he's God. And patience comes with that too, doesn't it? I mean, because we kind of want it now, we want it this way, we you know, and sometimes we can't even perceive what God's really trying to give us because we think we know what he should give us, you know, type of thing. And mm-hmm. so kind of letting go of our demands about what he should give us and letting go about the engines revving and just being still and perceiving God is almost like the best answer and the best gift that anybody can get. When Job had all those questions, you know, and he said, Lord, what the heck is going on in my life? I mean, my goodness, you know, what the heck is going on? And God didn't give like an explanation of what was going on. He said, well, where were you, by the way, when I created the universe? And where were you when the seas were formed? And where were you when the constellations were put in the sky? And so the answer that God gave is, I am who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's enough to produce that silence and that awe and also a confidence that there's meaning to this all, and that he's in control and he knows what he's doing, and I may not see and I may not know, but he's let me know that he is, and because he is, there's hope for me and there's hope for a resolution of all my questions that
because that's my deepest need, right?
Yeah.
I got all these little incidental needs and things that are on my mind.
Yeah.
But what I really need to know is that someone has my life in his hands.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one who has my life in his hands is good and loves me.
Yeah.
Because I often don't feel that.
And is all powerful.
And is all powerful.
And is really smart. And has a lot of experience in dealing with these situations.
He runs the universe.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Exactly. And he's got a plan.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to know that. And that's what comes from just being blown away by the fact that, okay, so God has done this.
Yeah.
I must matter. He's in a trough. What's a trough? A trough's a thing out of which animals eat. God is lying in a trough.
Yeah.
The all-powerful king of the universe, before whom angels are in awe, is lying in a trough.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
So I must matter. My life matters.
Yeah.
Even if I don't feel it right now, my life matters.
Yeah.
He's in control. He cares. He knows my needs. He's doing something for me. And now.
Yeah.
This wasn't just an event in the past. Right now, my life's in his hands.
And the gift that we mainly need right now, it's not this or that thing, you know, this job or this healing or that. We need to perceive that the gift is Christ. The gift is Jesus. The one thing that we really need in our life, the one thing that's going to really fulfill the purpose of our existence, is to be one with Him,
right?
To receive Him, to be grateful for Him, to thank Him, the Eucharistic life that we're called to live, to continue to receive Him, to continue to be united to Him, to continue to be grateful to God for Him.
Right. If He's giving me Himself, then as Paul says in Romans, what else won't He give me?
Yeah.
There's no greater gift that I can give you than I'm going to give you me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Infinite joy, union with me.
Yeah.
Knowledge of my love for you.
Antidote to death, resurrection from the dead.
Right. Anything else on your mind that you need help with?
Yeah.
You know, freedom from addiction.
Yeah.
I have it all for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think of the passage in Romans 8 about He who did not spare His own Son, will He not now give us everything else besides that we need to accomplish the purpose and mission of our life and our destiny?
And isn't it what we're trying to do at Christmas with each other when we give gifts? You know, I don't want you were talking about stillness earlier. I don't want you, if I'm going to spend however much money, but it's a meaningful gift for you, I don't want you to open it in a hurry, you know, like on your way to do something. I want you to sit down. I want to see your face when you open what I gave you, because I want you to know, huh, with somebody that I love, you really matter to me.
Yeah.
That's why we do this.
Yeah.
The rest of the year, I may not have said that as often as I should, but right now I really need you to know you matter to me.
Yeah.
That's what God's asking. Sit down. Let me tell you, you matter to me. And who's the me here? Well, I'm the King of all creation.
Yeah.
So why are you afraid?
Yeah.
Why are you afraid? Yeah, the economy's a mess. Yeah, you got real issues in your life. The world is going through all that it's going through, but don't be afraid. I made the world. I love the world.
Yeah.
I love you. You have no reason to fear.
It's so hard for people to hear those words, to perceive that reality, and to unclench their fist and just receive, you know, just to, I am loved, you know, I'm forgiven, I'm held, I'm secure, you know, I really do have a father. I'm not an orphan. You know, somebody has paid a great price for me. And even though nobody else on earth knows that or knows me, I'm known by the one who it matters to be known by, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, in terms of go like Christmas Mass, you know, or any Mass, if you just would come to church 10 minutes before Mass and stay 10 minutes after Mass, you receive so much more of what the Lord is giving at Mass. You know, if you just would pay more attention to what's being given to you, if you just kind of were still, you know, 10 minutes before Mass and 10 minutes after Mass, just to let the gift unfold, just to let a perception of what you've been given kind of dawn on you in a deeper way, and just to receive Him, to pay attention to Him, you know, spend time with Him. Mm-hmm. And then it also spills over into Eucharistic adoration. You know, like I'm so blessed to be part of a parish that's open to the whole area, which we have 24-hour a day adoration. And just, you know, sometimes I pray at home oftentimes. I'll pray in my parish church after Mass, which is really good, but then they start cleaning the church and everything like that. And sometimes I just like say, I got to get to the Adoration Chapel. I just got to go there where no telephones and no cell phones and nothing else, just to be still and just to be before Him and just to behold the Lord and His presence with us and His gift to us. And it's just so prayer, you know, and stillness and paying more attention at Mass and spending a little bit more time. And
in this time of resolutions for many of us, as we come to a new year, you just nailed two real great ones for people to consider. One is to make an effort to get to Mass early and to stay late.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time to also say, maybe I should think about what's happening here.
Yeah.
So how can I do that better than by actually getting here a little bit early and saying, Lord, teach me what's happening when I come to Mass.
Yeah.
Help me to understand what you want here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm at Mass certainly because of what I want to give to God, but I'm mainly there because of what He wants to give me.
Yeah.
So Lord, help me understand what you want to give me. Help me to still myself to hear you in your word, and then help me to get ready for a feast beyond description, which we just routinely do when we put the body of Christ into our bodies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That, and then the resolution as well of making an effort whether it's weekly or daily, to be in front of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Yeah. I can't think of a better New Year's resolution to make than those.
Yeah. And it's amazing what can happen to people. People tell me all the time, you know, once I started going to Eucharistic adoration, I don't know, something began to change in my life. I just began to be more aware of the Lord and, you know, something began to deepen. And I, you know, I'm not a great prayer and I'm not using new techniques, but just showing up. You know, it's a little bit like a friend who likens it to radiation therapy, you know, just being being in front of the radiation of the love of God coming from the Eucharist, you know, that it's an antidote for sin, you know,
and, absolutely.
You know, and I don't know if this is okay or not, but receiving communion in the Eucharist is like chemotherapy, you know, like it keeps sin in remission, you know, right. type of thing. So chemotherapy and radiation therapy. With
gotta
the
go
Eucharist,
hand in hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it just sort of like, it keeps a strength in us and a protection against temptation. And a presence of the Lord in our life that we need. I mean, we're going to be overrun by the craziness of the world and the distraction of the world, and our hunger for God is going to dry up, and our understanding of what this is all about is going to lessen, and our susceptibility to temptation is going to increase. And so we just, you know, if we're serious about being a Christian, we just really need to
absolutely
pay attention to the Lord and be with Him.
And if you doubt this, anybody who's doubting this listening, try it. I dare you.
Yeah.
Try for a week spending at least a half hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament and see how different your life is.
Yeah.
You know, Fulton Sheen said exactly what you just shared, which is just like sitting in the presence of the sun tans your body, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
You leave
physically
different.
Yeah.
So sitting in the presence of the sun, S-O-N, your body, your soul, I'm different. I'm changed. I'm transformed. Yeah. It has to happen.
Yeah.
God's promised that.
Yeah. Father John, these are exciting, fabulous truths, and I'm wondering if you could just kind of say a few closing words to folks today and maybe lead us in a prayer as we close.
Yeah, well, let's just go back to what we said. Huh? I mean, I can't think of anything better to do, especially in the midst of all the chaos that we live in our lives, than to make a concerted effort tonight, before you go to bed, to put everything aside, you know, to be still. To make the time just to eliminate all the distractions from your life, all the worries, all the fears, all the anxieties I got, and find a way, whether it's at the manger that you got in your house or Google one so you can pull one up on your screen, you know, do something to put in front of your eyes so that you can see it, so that we can look at it, the love that God has shown by amazing us with His humility of being in a trough, this helpless child. And then with all the fears that we got, all the anxieties we have, all the insecurities that we all get plagued with, all the uncertainty about whether my life really matters, talk to the Lord like never before. Lord, I need to know You.
Uh-huh.
I need to know why You're here. I need to know that I matter. I need to know my life is not aimless, that it's got a purpose, that You have a plan for me.
Uh-huh.
Show me that the way that only You can, however You want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the gift of awe. That's one of the gifts the Spirit who dwells within us, who've been baptized, wants to do. He wants to give me a spirit of awe. Give me awe.
Mm-hmm.
Amaze me right now. And then teach me, Lord, what do You want me to do? What have I done for You in my life?
Yeah. Could You give us a Christmas blessing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So through the intercession of Our Lady of Good Counsel and of Saint Joseph, and all the angels and saints and all Your patron saints and guardian angels, may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you all, that you might know in these days the wonder of God's great love for you. Amen.
Amen. Father John, thank you so much for the gift that you have made of yourself to the Lord in response to His gift to you and the gift to us as well.
Thanks, Ralph.
Good.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.